Ladies and gentlemen, good morning. Welcome to Schindler conference call on selected key figures for the first quarter 2016 conference call. I am Maria, the Chorus Call operator. The conference must not be recorded for publication or broadcast. At this time, it's my pleasure to hand over to Schindler. Please go ahead, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you, Maria, and good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Barbara Pfeff speaking, Head of Investor Relations of Schindler. On behalf of the Schindler team, I would like to welcome you to this conference where we discuss the results of the first quarter. All documents have been distributed this morning or posted on the website. Today, Schindler will be represented by Silvio Napoli, member of the Board of Directors and Nomination and Supervisory Committee. He will give you an overview on the highlights of the first quarter, followed by Eric Amann, our CFO, who will take you through the numbers. And thereafter, our CEO, Thomas Oetterli, will explain the development in the different markets. After the presentation of these gentlemen, your questions will be answered in the Q&A session as usual. And at this time, I would like to hand over to you, Silvio. Thank you.
Thank you, Barbara. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining our first quarter call. I'm pleased to be here with my colleagues present to you our key figures and give you some relevant background. Perhaps starting with a overall comment before diving into individual slides, I must say that we are pleased about how our performance in the first quarter 16 has confirmed the execution of our growth strategy and most importantly, the ground for this strategy. In particular, we observed 4 points, growth well above market development. Number two, position improvement in key markets. Number four, improved margins. And number four, finally, improved overall profitability. This is, I would say, particularly reassuring for us in terms of strategic execution, because this was achieved in spite of continued headwinds, which have remained as they've been in the recent past, mainly two, which is, first of all, foreign exchange, and the other one, and this is probably more pronounced recently, is a declining market for new installations. Now, talking of markets, new installations, perhaps we can now move to our slide number two, highlight January, March 16, and then just going quickly through the key points. I mentioned a declining market. Here we speak about challenging market because indeed it is not only one way. In summary, we see that the decline in China, which remains by far the biggest in the world, combined with the decline in Latin America, could not be totally offset by growth in Europe and a very important growth in North America. And that is, I would say, so net-net, because especially of the size of China, that has been given rise to slight market decline NI worldwide. Perhaps this applies to NI. However, it is important to stress that when it speaks about China, the EI market, or sorry, the service market and the modernization market growth has actually been accelerating. Talking about other parts of the world, in Asia Pacific, we were pleased to see growth still very much remaining in the picture, thanks to urbanization and also office space being built or renewed, and that has been able to offset some of the negative economic impact from commodity and other China-related figures that affect, of course, all of Asia-Pacific. As far as North America, we see that the residential market has really been the key driver behind the growth. Clearly, when I speak about Latin America, maybe we should make a difference in that Brazil is really the one that is suffering from its recession, and there we have a double header hit due to currency and market decline. In Europe, we're pleased to see overall moderate growth coming back and a stabilization, even a slight growth coming in Southern Europe. So in all of that, you will have seen our figures. We have order received increased by 2%, and I'd like to stress this 2% is what you could call a gross figure. This has to be seen against an overall negative market trend. So the what you call the net growth is a lot higher. Our revenues as a result of our execution has gone up by 3.3% in local currencies, and I mentioned before our overall profitability improvement, which is true in value and in margin. In value, we have in local currency an increase of almost 10%, 9.5%, and our EBIT margin again continued to increase again this quarter, reaching 11% before restructuring cost. Our net profit have increased by 8.3%, and our cash flow has achieved 333 million overall, providing what we say again, confirmation that we are en route to deliver on a growth strategy. With that summary, I'd like to pass on the word to Eric.
Thank you, Silvio, and good morning, everyone. To discuss the performance of the Schindler Group, I would like to use slide number 3, which shows the key figures of the first quarter 2016. Orders received reached 2.5 billion in the first quarter, up 2% in local currencies compared to the first quarter 2015. In Swiss franc, orders received were up 1% compared to last year, which included a higher share of large projects. This year, order intake of large projects was slow, particularly in China. The strongest growth in orders received was achieved in Europe, followed by North America. The market contraction in China and Latin America had a negative impact. However, in all markets except Latin America, Schindler achieved unit growth in elevator and escalator order intake. This includes China and underscores the successful execution of our growth strategy. Further down, you see the order backlog, which totaled 9.6 billion Swiss francs, and compared to December of last year, this represents an increase of 4.9% in local currencies. Thomas will comment on the markets in a few minutes in more details. Revenue reached 2.2 billion and was up 3.3% in local currencies versus prior year period. Revenue grew in all regions. The most substantial growth was achieved in the Americas, followed by Asia-Pacific and Europe. The growth rate achieved in the first quarter is at the lower end of the 3 to 7% range announced for the full year. This is due to the slower execution of the order backlog in various markets, particularly in Asia-Pacific. In the first quarter 2016, the negative translation impact on revenue from foreign exchange amounted to 32 million, mainly reflecting the weakening of the Brazilian reais. Operating profit, EBIT, reached 235 million and is up 5.9% in Swiss francs. In local currencies, the increase was 9.5%. EBIT margin improved to 10.8% and reflects pricing measures, but also the progress made in efficiencies, economies of scale, and cost optimization over the last 12 months. Before restructuring cost, the EBIT margin reached 11%. The currency impact on EBIT margin was negative with 20 basis points. Net profit reached 182 million, corresponding to an increase of 8.3%, and the improved result from financing and investing activities contributed 5 million Swiss francs. As Silvio mentioned, cash flow from operating activities amounted to 333 million, which was almost at the same level as last year. We are very pleased with the cash flow achieved, which includes a further strong improvement in net working capital. Now let's have a quick look at the balance sheet on slide number 16. The balance sheet continues to be strong with cash and cash equivalents of 2.1 billion. Net liquidity reached 1.9 billion. You see this at the bottom of the chart, and was almost at the level of December 2015. The good cash flow from operating activities helped to fully offset the dividend payment of approximately 300 million paid in the first quarter. Equity amounts to 2.2 billion Swiss francs and is down compared to the end of 2015, primarily due to the dividend payment. With that, I would like to hand over to Thomas.
Thank you very much, Eric. Good morning to everybody also from my side. I now would like to share with you some insights into the different markets and would start with slide number 4, Asia Pacific. In Asia Pacific, we clearly had a mixed market development. As well known, the China market has declined as expected. It was mainly driven by the lower tier cities. I will come to that also later a little bit on slide number 6 when we look on the inventories by the different tiers. However, in the other Asia Pacific markets, we have seen solid or moderate growth in India, in Southeast Asia and Australia, and also due to the aging of the portfolio, we have an increased modernization opportunity. Our own order intake was growing. We had a moderate volume growth. As mentioned by Eric, in the key markets, we were able to grow in units and to improve our market positioning. In fact, in the first quarter, we had a lower number of large projects. But with key projects, we always have to focus on a long-term view. And we are pretty sure that the key projects we are focusing on will come through in the next coming months. We also had a strong growth in modernization and maintenance. And in Japan, as it has already been communicated, we have decided to sell our operations, but it's still subject to regulatory approval. We are expecting the closing within this year. Coming to slide number 5, looking on the China market and the construction activities. We had a surprisingly positive first quarter in terms of floor space sold, but also floor space started. It shows that the government regulations and help has really supported those two key figures in our industry. In the floor space sold, the first quarter went up by 33% compared to the last year, and in the floor space started, it went up by 19.2% compared to the first quarter of last year. Looking on the inventories on slide number 6, we do see that although we have a very positive trend for one quarter, we also have to look on the overall picture. Housing inventories still remain very mixed in terms of the different tiers, whereas Tier 1 and Tier 2 cities are still on a level of 10 to 12 months, a little bit picking up. We still have some overhang in the Tier 3 cities, which means roughly 18 months. Nevertheless, there are also positive signs coming from the new five-year plan, which reflects the years 2016 to 2020. You see this on slide number 7. The normal growth for the future of 6 to 7% GDP growth is seen for the next 5 years. Also, this five-year plan clearly states that there is planned to have a further increase of the urbanization ratio from today's 56% to 60%. This is important because it gives a solid number for our market expectations for the future. Also supported by the government, there are a lot of infrastructure projects going on. Here, as one example, you see the high-speed railway network, which had a length last year of 19,000 kilometers and shall be expanded to 30,000 kilometers. by 2020. So large projects and infrastructure projects are a key element in our growth strategy. Going on slide number 8 in Americas, here we have diverging trends. As mentioned in the initial statement by Silvio, we have seen North American market still growing. Nevertheless, we also have seen that Brazil is really in a recession. In the other Latin American markets, we still have growth despite of some price pressure in the commodity area. Our own performance was very good. We had growth in North America, who was more than offsetting the pressure we have seen in Latin America and especially in Brazil. This growth was not only driven by units, it was also driven by good pricing, which will help us to further improve the margins. With our Schindler 3300, we have successfully penetrated the low-rise traction market in the U.S., and this is supporting our growth in units, but also in value. When we continue to look on Europe on slide number 9, the northern European markets are quite stable, and the southern European markets somehow are now recovering. We see moderate growth there. Important here is that we do have the new regulations according to the norm EN81 2050. So all the new installation markets are now adopting to this new regulation. Our own growth was strong. We had a strong growth in order intake, good in Northern Europe, and also very good in the Southern Europe, but coming a little bit from lower levels due to the market contraction we have seen in the last years. There is still a strong price pressure in the maintenance business, but we also see in the new installation business pricing opportunities driven by this new regulation EN81 2050. With this, as a very short overview on the different markets, I would like to hand over back to Eric to give us an outlook for the whole year 2016.
Thank you, Thomas. I would like to finish the outlook with the slide number 10 for the full year. We expect the new installation markets to decline in units by 5% or more this year, primarily due to the weakening of the markets in China and Latin America. For the markets in Asia Pacific, excluding China, as well as in Europe, we expect moderate growth rates. And for North America, we see continued good growth. The guidance for revenue growth remains unchanged. We continue to expect an increase in revenue of around 3-7% in local currencies for the full year 16. The profit guidance, the net profit guidance, will be issued with the publication of the half-year results. And now we are ready for your questions.
Our first question is from Martin Flückiger, Kepler Cheuvreux. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, good morning, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my questions. I have three, in fact. Firstly, I think Eric just mentioned that you guys are expecting the global new installation market to decline by some 5% in units due to China in 2016. Could you just confirm that number, please, minus 5%? And then with respect to China, could you provide us with a market growth or market decline estimate for Q1? And, you know, in this respect, also maybe talk a little bit about Schindler's performance in terms of units, mix and pricing in China in Q1. And finally, on China, how's the development of your service business been? Is it still growing double-digit? You clearly indicated in the past that it was growing very nicely. If you could provide us with some more clarity there, that would be very helpful. I'll ask some more questions later on, but for now I'll step back in line. Thanks.
Thank you, Martin. So maybe question number one, I would like to hand over to Eric about the global NI market expectation.
Yes, overall, it is really based on the volume, the market contraction in China, which drives the overall, and this is still an estimate, I have to say, from today's perspective, drives our view that the global new installation market will decline slightly, as we have said, and this equates to approximately 5%, would be our assessment. But it could also be more, depending on the further development in China. There were some positive signs. We have read them also in the newspapers. Whether this will mean an immediate turnaround in sales is another question. But that would be sort of what our current assessment is.
Okay, maybe to the question number two, regarding a little bit more specific the China market development. We have seen a market decline of roughly 5-6% in the first quarter. Looking on the overall year, we are expecting a decline in the same size. However, it could also become a little bit bigger, going up to 8%, something like that. At the moment, we still keep our 5-6% market decline for the whole year. When we look on the mix, where was the biggest decline? It's mainly in the tier 3 cities. We also mentioned that on our press conference at the for the annual closing 2015. So not the tier 1 and the tier 2 cities, where we still see quite a solid market development, also very high prices for apartments. In fact, in the tier 1 cities, the government even had to take measures to limit the price increases for apartments. So tier 3 cities are mainly affected by the decline. Looking on the type of buildings, it is, of course, in those tier 3 cities, it's especially the residential area where we see a higher decline than in the commercial area. And due to this, the pricing, of course, is heavy under pressure. We are expecting a price reduction in the market of somehow 5%. So definitely challenging environment. I just would like to add from our side, historically, we have been very strong and very present in the Tier 1 and Tier 2 cities. We just have added in the last few years more offices in the Tier 3 cities. So as we had there in the past almost zero sales, we are not so much impacted by the decline in the Tier 3 cities, because if you start from zero, you open an office, whatever you sell is more than what you had before. As a consequence, we had still, in terms of units, we had a growth in China. So we clearly were able to strengthen our market position. It was a low single-digit growth, but we had a positive growth. And looking on the market development, we were able to improve our market share in this market. Then the third question was about EI, existing installation service business. It is true, like in the past, we had a solid growth, a double-digit growth of more than 20% in our service portfolio. We are very pleased with that, and this will help us to strengthen our service position for the future. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Next question comes from Matthew Spoor, RBC. Please go ahead.
Hi, morning there. Thanks for taking my questions. The first one, just on Latin America, that I mean, it's mainly Brazil, I think, is the other market. Can you just give us a rough indication of how big Brazil is versus the other markets there? And in terms of the impact you saw on currency, is that all just a translation? I think you said in the past, Eric, has that's a higher margin region, and so is that the main impact on the margin? Thanks.
Yes, you are right that obviously Brazil is the biggest market in Latin America, and it is in a recession, and therefore drives a little bit the overall growth rate for the region. The other markets are actually quite good. In particular, Mexico, we see a good market also with large projects. So I would say it's predominantly Brazil that is driving there the negative impact for the total region. On the margin, I mentioned 20 basis points impact due to FX. And when you look at the currency development, yes, certainly the Brazilian reais that declined significantly year on year, some 25%, has a significant impact as well.
But is that all just a mix effect, or is there a sort of an economic sort of currency flow issue there?
No, it's the basket of the currencies hasn't really changed for Schindler. So it's how they fluctuate versus the Swiss franc. That's really the impact.
Okay, and I had one more quick one. I've seen a couple of your competitors this quarter put out statements about agreements with technology companies on Internet of Things collaborations. What's your approach to that? Is that something you go sort of solo and do it yourself, or would you look to partner? Just any thoughts you had on that sort of side of the industry would be interesting.
Yeah, thank you, Matthew, for the question. I would like to answer that. Already in the last few presentations, we have shown that we have our own integrated digital platform. So I think we are quite well developed, not only in terms of creating efficiency opportunities, but also creating opportunities for our customers, so to add value for them in terms of information. So I think we are well on track there. Are you doing that only by yourself? No, have to work together with third-party partners. And we will communicate in the next few months our next steps towards the digitization in our industry. What do we plan to do and how do we plan to do that? But we are pretty confident and well on track that we have the right initiatives in place.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
Next question is from Rizk Maidi, Berenberg Bank. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning. Thank you for taking my questions. I'll take them one at a time. So basically, we've been outperforming the China market growth for a couple of quarters now. I'm just wondering how the margins look on those incremental on the incremental performance that you're able to do in China, please.
Okay. Thank you, Rick, for the question. I would like to answer that by myself, as I was in charge for China until end of March this year. It is true we have outperformed the market in terms of growth, and we have not jeopardized due to this the overall margin of the Schindler Group. It means that we have been able to mitigate the price pressure which is in the market by cost reductions, and we have continuously improved our margin in China and are not diluting the group results with that.
Okay, thank you, that's very clear. And secondly, on currency, I think you've mentioned, sorry, I was a bit late on the call, 20 bips headwind to the EBIT in Q1. Can you just give us a sense for how this should look in Q2 and the rest of the year, please?
Obviously, we don't have a crystal ball, but I would say it will probably not get worse. So I would continue to work with 20 basis points for the rest of the year. That's the best assumption I can make from today's perspective. Currencies seem to be relatively stable recently versus the Swiss franc. Overall, I would calculate with the 20 basis points for the full year.
That is perfect. Thank you very much.
Next question is from Phil Wilson, Redburn. Please go ahead.
Good morning. Thanks for taking the questions. I've got three, please. I'll do them one at a time. Firstly, you highlighted the Chinese decline for the market could deteriorate through 2016 from the current minus 5%. What are the indicators that make you think that there is a risk that the decline could be bigger to that minus 8% that you said, or is that just being conservative?
Okay. Thank you, Phil. So let me answer maybe the first question. And if you look on the presentation where you have the charts about China, the floor space sold and the floor space started. When you look on the floor space started, this is a very good indicator for the future market development. So looking on the years 2014 and 2015, we see that the average, especially in 15, the average decline has been something like 14-15% for the whole year. Now, if you have floor space started roughly 1 year afterwards, this is impacting our order intake. It is not a one-to-one. You cannot take the figure one-to-one. But if you have overall 14% decline, there is a certain risk that the 5% or 6% we are assuming for 2016 will be higher. That's the key message I have to say. If 14% less floor space started is recorded, then there is a risk that you even have a higher impact in 16, so 12 months later, also for our orders received. For this reason, this positive trend in Q1 will not impact the order intake in 2016. Maybe towards the end of the year or beginning of next year, so we have to have a look how the development of the second quarter will be to have a better prognosis also for the year 2017.
Okay, thank you. So your understanding is there's a roughly 12-month lag from construction starts to orders in your book.
Yes, it depends a little bit on the on the market segment. So residential is maybe 9 months, and commercial buildings can be more than 12 months. But in, as a rough estimate, something like 12 months is probably quite okay.
Yeah. This is the market, and obviously we will try to outperform the market. So
exactly,
you said will be reflected in our books. Phil, obviously we try to do better, that is clear, than these figures on this slide, huh?
Absolutely.
Okay. Thank you. And then just moving to Brazil, you seem to have focused on it a bit more this quarter than the previous presentation last quarter. Have you seen a deterioration in new installation growth? And just second to that, how much of your Brazilian business is new equipment in terms of sales or even more helpfully, perhaps profit? And I assumed it was about 70% of your business's service, but some comments on Brazil would be helpful. Thanks.
Yes. Yeah, Brazil is an important market for us. That is clear. We are one of the major players there. We don't provide details in terms of split between NI and EI, but it is clear Brazil is not a huge market in terms of new installation, so much I can say. We have seen further decline in the market, yes, in the first quarter, and this will obviously roll through. It's similar characteristics as other markets with high-rise buildings. It will have a lag of 12 to 18 months. So this will be with us. This decline will be with us for the next, I would say, 18 months for sure.
Perhaps adding to Eric's point here, having had been in charge of America for until March 31st, in order to address that, we actually changed our structure in Brazil. We used to have a centralized operation based out of headquarters in São Paulo, and now we have decentralized this by creating new field operation directors reporting to the country head in the south and in the north of the country, where we always were present as one of the leading players, but admittedly probably were less capillary in our approach. And thanks to that, we've been able to offset to a large extent the market downturn. Of course, there is the other impact of Brazil is, of course, the currency, the translation. This one we can't do anything about that. But in terms of share of the market and leadership position and offsetting some of the market downturn, that has proven quite effective.
What sort of rate of declines are you seeing in Brazil in your new installation? Is it down 10%?
It is in this order of place, yes. It is about in that order, absolutely.
Great. And then finally, in terms of your market share development outside of China, are there any markets that you're taking share or losing share that you can talk about?
I think looking on the other markets, as mentioned before, I think we had a solid growth, and I think we have kept in all the markets in minimum our market share, and in some markets we were able to increase our market share. So overall, I would say we have increased our market share.
Okay, thank you very much.
You.
Next question comes from Andre Kukhnin, Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning. It's Andre from Credit Suisse. Thanks very much for taking my questions. We got cut off a couple of times, so I apologize in advance if it's a repetition. I'll try not to. So firstly, on China, the market share gains over there, could you give us some idea on how far are we into the process of rolling out into kind of tier three and deeper into sort of smaller tier two cities and how much of that is still to go? Because you have now been taking share consistently for, I think, about 18 months.
Okay. Good morning, Andre. Thank you for the question. So the China market share development, maybe you remember we have said we are now present in 200 cities, so we have 200 offices. This means we are now covering all the tier three cities, all the cities above 1 million capita, which are roughly 150 cities, plus another 50 cities which are close to that limit, we are also now present. On top of that, we have another 100 cities where we are acting with distributors. So we do not have an own local presence, but we have a strong collaboration with a distributor. So today, there is no plan to further expand geographically our network, because we now have a full coverage of the market. And so we have seen, of course, part of our market share gains has come from those new territories we have introduced in the last 2 years, but we also had good growth in the tier one and in the tier two cities where we were already present in the past. This is mainly due to several topics. One topic is that we now have a product portfolio which is the right one for the Chinese market. And the second topic is that we also were focusing a lot on key account sales. So we were able to make frame contracts with a number of large developers in China. So it is organic growth, geographical expansion, and I think we now have the right setup for the overall country.
Got it. But within that now kind of fully rolled out geographic setup, if you benchmark of, you know, size of cities versus size of your sales force versus size of your new equipment orders, our understanding is that you still have got room to go in these smaller cities that you have just expanded to. Would that be a right assumption?
I think the assumption is right. It is one thing to open a branch or a sales office. This we have done, but then per sales office, you still can increase the market penetration by hiring additional salespeople. Of course, we are doing that in those areas where we see the opportunity still to increase our market share. And it's maybe not always an overall increase of our sales force, but it is selective in those areas where we believe we still can gain market share. And in some areas where we see a real contraction of the market, we do not intend to increase our sales force. But overall, there will be an increase, yes.
Okay, got it. Thank you. And on Brazil, from the early kind of indicators, from the actual kind of the beginning of the whole process of construction and that then follows into a lift order. What are you seeing there? We've obviously seen some indications, like, you know, the stock market, the currency turning during Q1, but are you witnessing anything of the like in the actual construction market?
I mean, a turnaround of the construction market?
Or stabilization?
No, not in the first quarter. No, we have not seen any turnaround there. No.
Very clear, thank you. And just on the Schindler pricing model rollout, could you update us on
what's the next step? And I guess similar to the China market share gain question, sort of what is the potential there?
Did I understood it correctly? The pricing model update?
Yeah. Yes, the rollout of that, because I understand that you've rolled it out in certain countries in Europe. There are more to go, and then there's North America potential as well.
Yes, this is true. We have, I think, in some of the markets, we have successfully rolled out, and we are intending to do that also in other markets. It's not only about the pricing, that's one element, but the other element is also focusing on strategic markets, which we have mentioned. Besides China, it is India, Turkey, Southeast Asia, and in the, let's say, mid-term future, it will be Iran. But the pricing model we have introduced, we are rolling out all over the globe.
And are we halfway through that process, a third, or are we almost done? Just a rough indicator.
Overall, I would say we are still in the beginning. It's basically a tool. It's a tool that is part of our SHAPE process, which is our backbone based on SAP. And obviously, the implementation takes some time, but then what takes even more time is to actually implement it in the Salesforce. And I would say from the pilots we have run, it takes at least 12 months to get the turn around in the mentality of how to approach pricing. And I would say we are probably 30% complete, so not more than this for the time being. And it will take several months until, as I said before, this has really trickled through the sales organization. But the first signs, the first experience is very promising.
It's also part of our fast-forward framework, where we clearly focus on pricing in new equipment, but also in our service business. And we plan to finalize that until next year.
Great, thank you. And very final quick question, just on restructuring costs, is guidance of 25 million for full year kind of still what we should be thinking of?
Yes, that's what we have said in Lucerne in February, so that is still what we have in mind.
Great, thank you very much for your time.
Next question comes from André von Rohr from UBS. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning. I also have three questions. The first one would be, you explained the sales growth at the lower end of the guidance by a slower execution of the backlog, especially in Asia. What were the reasons for that slower execution, and do you expect this to change in the current quarter?
Yes, that is true. It is a revenue that has grown maybe a little bit less than what we anticipated. Also, I have to say it's at the lower end of the 3-7% range. It is really the execution in quite a few markets, but it's not only Asia Pacific. I have to say also in Europe we had a few markets that were a bit slow. I think it's also the combination of having the Chinese New Year and Easter in the same quarter. Typically, that doesn't happen. It didn't happen in 2015. I think that has also contributed a little bit, particularly also in Europe, that we were a bit slower than last year. But generally speaking, yes, we have seen, and this is not a new phenomenon, I think I have mentioned this before, that the pull by the customer is maybe a little bit slower than what it used to be 2 years ago. And in many markets, or in most markets, I have to say, we are very strict that we don't deliver the material to the job site unless we have received the down payment. So from that perspective, there's also a little bit of discipline built into the system on our side that maybe has contributed as well. Now, for the next 9 months, we have clear program to focus on this. This was addressed in the organization. I don't have a crystal ball whether this will dramatically improve, but we are working on it.
Okay. My second one would be a clarification on the 5% decline you're expecting for China. That's the view you have on the market, but your goal would be to beat this growth or this decline.
Yeah, definitely. We want to have, like in Q1, we want to have a positive trend. So we want to have, in terms of units, we still want to grow. So we want to have a positive movement 2016 compared to 2015, which means that we will outgrow the market also in the year 2016 in China.
And the last question again on China, I mean, the floor space data in Q1, floor space started data you've showed for Q1, which is quite strong. How do you see that statistic? I mean, do you think this could be a sustainable change we see here, or is this just a temporary boost in the data beginning of the year?
Well, I think there was a lot of pressure also by the Chinese government on the construction business. There were a lot of initiatives towards the end of last year to push the construction activities. I think this is one element of it. I think a second element was also that in certain cities we had an increase of the apartment or the housing prices. So this was a positive stimulus, which gave some confidence to the developers. On the other side, I have to say, if I look on the inventories in the tier 1, 2, and 3 cities, they are still unchanged, so still on a quite high level. And I would not dare to take these Q1 figures to say already a real turnaround in the construction industry. However, if I look on the five-year plan, I think there are some good indicators that there will be a solid market size also in the future. But I do not believe that there will be already now this year a real turnaround. I don't see that. I would not dare to say that after one quarter.
Okay. Thanks very much.
Especially maybe to mention this, if you look on this chart on page number 5, the quarter one is always, in terms of absolute size, the smallest quarter. So it's also an upside or a downside is in absolute terms usually not so big. So we need more than in Q2 and 3 really to talk about the turnaround.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next question comes from Remo Rosenau, Neue Helvetische Bank. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you. How does the conversion rate of new installations into long-term service contracts compare between the high-rise segment and the housing market in China, which is where you are growing right now in the tier 2 and tier 3 cities? Is it fair to assume that this conversion rate should be higher in the high-rise segment compared to the housing segment? And if so, could you possibly quantify that? Thank you.
Okay, thank you for the question, Remo. Your assumption is absolutely right. In the high-rise segment where we supply our flagship product line, the Schindler 7000, I have to say we have a conversion rate of nearly 100%. So I think it's also due to the fact that the complexity of such a product is really high, and you need a lot of well-trained, educated, and certified people to do a proper maintenance. We only sell high-rise projects in those areas where we have a strong own organization, because we don't want to make any compromise in terms of reliability or safety. Now, in the residential area, it is different. The conversion rate is lower. It is also lower in China than in other markets in the world, just by definition, when you have a distributor model where we use distributors for residential products, there the conversion rate is usually much lower than if we sell it with our own sales force. Overall, the conversion rate of Schindler in China is something close to 70%, and definitely, as far as I know, one of the highest in the market.
Okay. But that then should or could be a focus for the future to get these conversion rates in the residential segment up, right?
Yes, in fact, over the last years, and I talk here in a long-term period, we have substantially increased our conversion rate. And of course, one of the reasons why we have enlarged our geographical footprint to have now 200 offices compared to much less offices in the past is to have a local organization who also can then take an equipment sold in the new equipment business into our service portfolio. This is, of course, supported by a higher geographical footprint. And it's clear, looking long-term into the Chinese market, the service business importance becomes bigger and bigger.
Okay. Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next question comes from Daniel Gleim, MainFirst Bank. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning. Thank you very much for taking my question. The first one actually would be a clarification on the 70% that you just mentioned. Is this including XJ or before XJ?
This is including overall
Schindler. Okay. To make your statements on China a little bit more comparable to the other reporting that we've seen in the past couple of days, could you give us a rough indication of the China order intake in monetary value and how your pricing has performed compared to the market?
No, well, we don't give more details on the monetary values, but it is clear that the pricing was down, as Thomas has mentioned before. So we gave some indications what happened on the units, and obviously then you can add the pricing to this. What was in addition to what is in the unit count is really the large projects. And I have mentioned this before, that for some reason the projects we are focusing on did not come to fruition in the first quarter. And this was particularly the case in China, but in some other markets as well. So overall, we were probably in the monetary side. If you just look at the value, it was down more than whatever we said before on the unit side. And so that is as much indication as I can give to you. I want to give.
Okay. Maybe on the monetary sales evolution in China, maybe just a very rough indication. This, I assume this is really still in single-digit positive territory, or am I completely wrong here?
I think we don't want to speculate. I think I have said, I've given you enough hints that you can come up with your own conclusions.
Okay. One of your competitors really has communicated a step change in his strategy, even if you don't directly comment on single competitors. But have you seen any material changes in the competitive environment in China in this quarter, or do you expect any material changes going forward for the rest of the year?
Thomas speaking here. No, so far we don't have seen a fundamental change in our competitors' landscape. I think overall, as a general statement, I can say in a market development like now in China, where you have a decline of the market size and you have some pricing pressure, the one consequence will be a concentration process. So I think that all the large competitors, they are now present also in the Tier 3 and Tier 4 cities, which has been historically the domain of the local competitors, and I think the local competitors are now even more under pressure than the multinationals, and I'm expecting a concentration process there. From the large competitors, I do not have seen a change in their market behavior.
Okay. Maybe one final question on the sale of the Japan operations. We would need to expect some cash flows from that in this fiscal, or am I wrong on that end?
Yeah, if it closes this year, then there will be cash flow, positive cash flow, where there will also be a positive impact, but it's not yet closed, so for the time being, I cannot say more than this, but there will be a positive impact, yes.
All right. Thank you very much.
Next question is a follow-up question from Mr. Martin Flückiger. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my questions. Just two, firstly, on Europe. We've seen quite encouraging building permit growth over the last few quarters, if I remember correctly, ever since Q2 2015. When do you think, you know, it's a similar question to the one regarding new construction area in China and the market development on new orders, when do you expect the analogous development in Europe to happen? Is there also roughly a 12-month time lag in place here as well? That would be my first question. And the second one, coming back to the issue of the divestment of the Japanese business, could you talk a little bit about the financial impact on revenues and margins that you expect from this transaction? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Martin, for the question. Maybe I'm answering the first one about Europe, and then Eric can elaborate on Japan. More or less, you are right with the assumption that the connection or the time lag is something like 12 months. It's probably a little bit less than in China. I would assume that in the residential area, it's more 6 to 9 months, and maybe in the commercial area, it is 12 to 15 months. So the lead time is a little bit shorter than in China. And maybe Eric on the question number two.
Sure. Yeah, on Japan, during the conference call that was held on Japan, it was mentioned that the revenue that we have there is less than 100 million Swiss francs. And then obviously you can imagine what it has as an impact on margins and net profit is it's not that big. So the financial impact in 2016 will anyhow be small because it will not happen until somewhere in the second half. And for 2017 full year, as I said, it's less than 100 million and net profit is rather small. There will be a positive one-time impact from the sale, but that's too early to say. This will be in the financials at year end or whatever the quarter it happens.
Thanks a lot.
Next question is a follow-up question from Mr. Andrei Kuknin. Please go ahead.
Yes, thanks very much for taking the follow-up questions. Firstly, on XJ, how did that develop during Q1, please?
Well, XJ is our dual-brand organization in China. They have a strong, they had a strong first quarter. They are, we would call it, they are on track and on plan. So they are part of our overall growth strategy and are contributing to that like the Schindler organization itself.
Thank you. That's quite an interesting development because from the market perspective, I would have thought XJ is more sort of skewed towards the tier 3, tier 4 cities, and that's where the kind of the ugliest demand picture is, while tier 1s look better. So could you help us with what have you done with XJ that allows to outgrow the underlying end markets?
This is a right observation. There are two elements which are important to consider when we talk about XJ. One is their presence is mainly in the so-called Henan province, so that's central China. It's quite a strong province. So although they have, as mentioned, a lot of tier 3 cities, but the province itself is pretty strong. It has roughly 130 million inhabitants. So it's, in fact, in terms of people, it's the biggest province in China. This helps, I have to say. The second topic is already last year we started also to increase, and it is part of the 200 sales offices. Already last year we started to increase the number of offices because XJ was mainly in this Henan province with a circle of a few hundred kilometers around, and they have expanded their sales network also outside of the circle. So they were able to compensate those areas maybe outside of Henan, which were a little bit more in a slowdown, to compensate with the opening of new offices.
Great, thank you. And XJ do not export outside of China, do they?
Only a very little.
Right, got it. Final question on modernization in China. What are you seeing there at the moment, and was there actually any kind of meaningful change or noticeable change in that trend during Q1?
No, there was no change in Q1. I think there is the modernization business in China is a long-term view we have to take. There are some elder buildings with 8 to 10 floors which do not have, for example, today an elevator. So there is now more and more the trend that outside of the facade you are making a steel construction and are adding an elevator. Then in the real modernization business, I think over the next years, and it's really a long-term view, there will be quite a lot of replacements happening where elder elevators of 20, 25 or 30 years of age will be replaced with modern new elevator equipment. Also in terms of safety, this is definitely something supported by the government.
And for you, of your China business, is this something like a couple of percent in terms of revenue? Would that be right?
I think at the moment it is still a minor part of our business, because our growth in the last few years was remarkable. The last 6-7 years we really had strong growth. So the equipment is still too young to be modernized. However, in some of the larger projects we had already done in the past, so we mentioned before in the high-rise buildings, in the commercial buildings, we do see some opportunities also in the near future.
And so a very final one on this. Do you have specific products for modernization, like kits, like modernization kits?
Yes, we do have specific products, especially in the high-rise high-rise elevator area, and also in the escalator area. I have shown the last time very quickly one product which is not only in China but globally now very, very successful. This is an intrus solution for escalators, where you do not take out the whole escalator, but you leave the frame, the truss of the escalator in the building, and you are replacing only those elements inside of the truss. Besides this, in the residential area, we already started a few years ago, especially in Europe, an initiative for replacing residential elevators. These are two product lines we have. It's the so-called Schindler 6200 and the Schindler 6300, which also will generate opportunities for us in China in the future.
Great. Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot.
Next question is a follow-up question from Mr. Ritz Kmaidi. Please go ahead.
Yes. Hi again. So two follow-ups on China, please. So the first one is a year ago, you've expressed your interest in playing a role in this consolidation game in China. I think you've mentioned Kenny Elevator and the likes as potential targets. Is this still on the agenda? And secondly, on pricing in China. So we've seen the new equipment markets maturing. We've seen pricing pressure on the new equipment side. Do you see that transition into the aftermarket business? I think we've seen that in Europe. We've seen that in the U.S. a couple of years ago. So do you believe it will happen in China at some point? Thanks.
Okay. Maybe I can ask those two questions. I'm not sure. I think we never have mentioned any candidate. So I think we only talk about acquisitions after we have generated the facts. Nevertheless, we also have mentioned we are open for this consolidation process. If you look on our balance sheet, I think we also have the possibilities to do M&A. We are screening very carefully different candidates, and whenever we have something then to report, we will then report. But it's definitely something we have on our radar. The second topic of pricing in the new equipment business, does it also go to the service business? We do not see that trend. I think there is more an upside potential in the pricing in the long term, because my experience in China has been that that the society is developing more and more into being aware about reliability, quality, and safety. So I think there is more a positive opportunity for the future than another price pressure also coming in the service part, like in the new equipment part.
Thank you. That's very clear. Thanks.
Thank you very much.
Since it seems that there are no more questions, ladies and gentlemen, I would like to thank you in the name of the Schindler team for having joined us for your questions, and we hope that you found the presentation as well as the discussion instructive. And as usual, please feel free to contact Investor Relations for any follow-up. In that, having said that, I wish you a nice day. Goodbye.
Ladies and gentlemen, the conference is now over. Thank you for choosing Chorus Call, and thank you for participating in the conference. You may now disconnect your lines. Goodbye.